Hi, I'm here with Hugh Robinson, Senior Policy Officer at the TUC, and of course a fellow of IOSH. Hi, Hugh.
Hi.
I want to start really by talking about the Olympic Build Project, not just the park, but also the village. It's delivered on time, and more importantly for our profession, the health and safety performance outshone any other major build in the UK and potentially Europe. What lessons do you think the industry as a whole could take from that?
The difference between the Olympics and other construction programs wasn't just the size, it was starting right from the beginning with principles of cooperation. So what they did was they said, we're actually going to ensure that we're going to make the contractors take health and safety responsibly. We're also going to work with the staff. So it's a construction project where the contractors didn't just say, the main contractors didn't just say, we're going to leave it to the individual contractors to do whatever they want. It's their responsibility. They said, if you're working on the Olympics, you're playing by our rules. And our rules are going to be a joined-up approach about working together. That's what's happened. And it was helped by the fact that when Dennis Horn became chief executive of the OGA, the first thing he did was to go on site and stress the importance of safety at workplace meetings. And that is the kind of commitment that we'd like to see in other construction sites.
Sure. And I suppose, obviously we have a review in health and safety at the moment, and that's a government-led review. What do you think government can do to promote the lessons that have been achieved by the London 2012 build and really promote this positive approach to health and safety?
Well, government is one of the biggest contractors in terms of construction work and maintenance work within the country. And the public sector as a whole is by far the biggest. Basically, if they're letting contracts, they should be ensuring that the principles that operated during the construction of the Olympics operate within all government construction work, whatever size. Basically, it's not enough just to wash your hands of the problem and say it's up to the contractors. You're there to deliver, and the only important thing is cost. In actual fact, the Olympics not only were operated relatively safely, but they also were on time and within budget. So what it shows that, in actual fact, if you get the safety right, it doesn't mean it's safety or cost or safety or time. And that's what the government has to learn, that basically they want good contractors doing the work, not a bunch of cowboys. And if you actually insist on high safety standards as part of the contracting process, you can get people who can do the job. And that's what you want.
Yeah, of course. And I guess on a similar vein to my previous question, the current cost to the UK economy as a whole of occupational illness and injury is around 1.5% of GDP, and that's about £22 billion. The Olympic project has demonstrated that taking positive steps in health and safety management has improved the construction industry performance in health and safety by two-thirds. I mean, do you think the government should actually encourage other businesses and industries to take the same approach and potentially save the economy billions of pounds rather than just cutting legislation or emerging legislation that they're currently saying?
Well, it's a no-brainer, isn't it, really? Problem is, within construction, is so often the cost of injury and illness isn't actually met by the employer, it's met by the state, because there's so much bogus self-employment around, so many people who do get injured just given the cards the next day. So we're the ones that are picking up the tab for a lot of the shoddy work rather than the actual employers. What the Olympics did was, it wasn't just about health and safety. What a lot of people don't realize is they also had a huge occupational health involvement as well.